morning. We'll get started now. We've got our session with meeting the leaders, the four leaders of the General Assembly. We have here Speaker Cliff Rosenberger is the chairman of the Legislative Service Commission this year. He represents in Southern Ohio around the Clinton and Highland and Pike County areas. Minority Leader Fred Strayhorn is from the Dayton area in the House. President Keith Faber is represents a lot of the counties in Western Ohio and it lives in the Salina, city of Salina. And then Minority Leader Senator Joe Schiavone is from the Youngstown and Boardman area up there. We'll start, and Senator Faber is also the Vice Chair of the Legislative Service Commission. So we'll start with the senators this morning, and if Senator Faber or Schiavone, whoever wants to start.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with everybody this morning. I'm Joe Schiavone, Minority Leader from Youngstown. I'm also a lawyer at home representing injured workers and workers' comp cases and auto accidents. And so, you know, for me, coming down here in 2009, I got appointed first. I was 29 years old. I didn't have any political experience, but working to represent injured workers was good practice for me, you know, because when you're walking into a hearing and you're 24 years old and you got a 60-year-old General Motors worker that thinks that your dad's coming to his hearing and he says, where the hell's, you know, my lawyer? You better be ready to roll. And so I bring that kind of same mentality down here is that, you know, I don't speak unless I have adequately studied up on what I'm talking about. I listen a lot. I try to learn every single day. And I think it's a combination of listening, learning, and then being able to digest a lot of information quickly and then be able to speak on it in a very concise way because everything you'll see is very rushed. And so being in the minority, it's even more rushed because you have less ability to have access to information beforehand, meaning that a lot of the times you'll see things that come and you got to vote on it like now. You got to speak on it like now. You got to understand it like now, and then you got to go home and you got to explain it to people tomorrow. And so that is something that I think that you'll see is a little more intense than you anticipate because it is a lot of information, whether it's in the House or the Senate. Both minorities are in deep minorities, so it makes it difficult because you just don't have a lot of members dealing with committees. You're stretched kind of thin, and so you have to make sure that you are driving messages that are important not only to your caucus but to the constituents that you represent. And, you know, always trying to put your best foot forward to try to work together before you pick a fight is kind of the way that I go about this stuff. Now, Keith sitting next to me, he will say that I may pick fights sometimes, but I don't try to unless I feel like it's warranted. And so that's the nicest way I could say it. So, all right. So that's a little bit about you know, some of the things that I just see, overview kind of things. But you know, for us in the Senate Democratic Caucus, we work a lot on education bills, making sure that students, wherever you're from, have a good opportunity to have a quality learning experience. So it's something that we're constantly driving with charter school accountability and e-school accountability. And there you'll see a lot of school bills coming out of our caucus in the Senate, driving, cleaning up neighborhoods and communities, a lot of blight in the Mahoning Valley, but it's not just urban blight, there's also rural blight, so it affects everybody. So constantly trying to deal with how we're going to make communities safer, with making sure that local governments have the proper amount of funding. Veterans issues are good issues that we always work well with across the aisle. Farming issues, agriculture issues are normally issues that are good bipartisan issues, and we got to figure out this opioid epidemic because I know today there was a study that came out that said Ohio has the worst problem in the country, and so this is a real deal. We got to do something quick. Every day that passes is another day that we have more people that become addicted and just downward spiral for their lives and for their families' lives. So that's the the gist of some of the main things that we've been working on. If anybody has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, good morning, everybody. Where are all my new House colleagues? Can you raise your hands? Yeah, I should be sitting out there with you guys as one of the freshman orientees. I want to welcome you to the legislature. What you're about to embark on is, I think, one of the best ways to serve at any level, whether it's local or federal. You're going to find that, unlike the federal dysfunction, you can get a lot done here. You can really put your thumbprint on things that matter. And so I'm going to talk about three areas. First is relationships. I think one of the most important things we have down here at the State House that you don't have in D.C. so much, and not even as much sometimes locally, is the relationships you have among your colleagues. And when I went through this orientation far too many years ago now, one of the speakers always said the most important thing you have in Columbus is your word. If you give your word or you say you're going to do something, you better doggum better do it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't change your mind because you become educated or you have more information. That's okay. But just tell somebody, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore. And you'll find that in dealing with the government affairs people, the lobbyists, your colleagues, the caucus staff, everybody. So figure out those relationships that are going to be important to you, your friends, your colleagues, the people across the aisle, the people in and out of government, all of those people, those relationships are going to be very important to you being successful. Don't underestimate how important the staff are. The staff really make this place run, and so respect what they do. You know, it's going to go a long way when you say to a page, okay, where are you from? How you doing? What, you know, how's school going? Those kind of things. It's going to go a long way when you talk to staff up and down the level and figure out where they're at. The second thing is figure out what you really want to accomplish. What are the things that are most important to you and your district? From my perspective, if you come from an ag area, then you darn well better be asking to be on ag committee or figure out those things that are going to be important to your district. And then zero in on those three or four things based on your personal experience, your knowledge, whatever it is that you're going to become a subject matter expert on. The issues that come across the desk of most legislators, and I've said this for years, most legislators have to be a mile wide, and because of that, on most topics, you can only be an inch deep. But on some things, you want to be that person who's a mile deep. And that's where your colleagues, because of those relationships I mentioned, are going to come back to you and rely on your expertise, your knowledge, your experience. And so, for example, if you come into this like Joe and I do as lawyers, and you have a particular subject matter expertise in antitrust law, and that's going to be something that you want to work on, or you want to work on how that interrelates with regulatory issues, spend your time, focus on that, and it won't take very long that your colleagues will be asking you for your opinion when those kind of bills come up. So if you're a teacher, education makes sense. Figure out where those items are. But don't also be afraid to go outside your comfort zone. One of the best examples I give is Senator Gail Manning came into the Senate as a teacher. She represented the Turnpike. I mean, a third of the Turnpike exits were in her district. And she really didn't think transportation was going to be her subject matter expertise. But because of the district, she became an expert on transportation. I made her the transportation chair. And lo and behold, when we did Turnpike revision, she was the person who crafted the deal that worked, that kept the Turnpike from being sold off or doing other things. So again, figure out what's important. Become that subject matter expert in that area. And you'll find your colleagues will defer. And the last one is probably part and parcel with the first two. When you get into your caucuses, don't be afraid to speak up. You represent exactly the same number of people, give or take 5%, of everybody else sitting in that room, from the speaker or the president, all the way down to the most low-ranking seniority person. Don't be afraid to make sure your opinion's known. Because if your opinion's not heard or not known inside the caucus rooms, it's going to be real tough for you to make a difference. So if you're in the room, you're going to make a difference, and if you're in the room participating, you'll make a bigger difference. So don't be afraid to participate and give your opinions. Now, having said that, as a leader, we always like to make sure that you sign on to the team. And so once the team's agreed to do what the team's agreed to do, make sure everybody knows where you're at and get where you can be to be supportive of the team. This is not an individual sport. Nobody passes a law or a bill with one vote. And so if you're in the game to play individual sports, you're probably in the wrong game. You need to figure out how to count. In the Senate, it's 17. In the House, it's, you know, 50. You need to figure out how to get to those numbers. And that's why in order to be that team player to get your stuff done, you're going to have to help somebody else get their stuff done as well. So there's my lessons to a new legislator in a nutshell. The last part of that is when you go forward in working your district and working the things that are important, remember that your constituents expect to see you. Don't forget that Columbus is where you go to do your work day to day, but your district is where you'll go to work every day. And so make sure your staff are actively working on your constituent service issues, because those issues are going to be the determiner of whether your constituents are largely happy with you or not. Most people don't know what you vote on down here until somebody educates them. But in the end, your constituents are going to know whether when they called you with a problem with state government, whether it got taken care of. So make sure your district staff and your office staff is on top of that job as well. That, to me, is the focus, particularly of first and second year legislators. Learn your district. Make sure you know who those key issues are and get the job done. With that, you'll all be 100% successful and all be speakers and presidents.
He took my speech there. Is this thing on? Good morning. I am Leader Strayhorn, Fred Strayhorn from Dayton, and as I look around the room, obviously I know mine. I know my House members and new electeds, but I just met some of you last night. I am a retread. I termed out and came back. I see one of my retreads over there, Senator-elect Dolan, so good to have you back. This feels like high school and college where nobody wanted to sit up front, so it's a familiar look. Let me talk about my background just a little bit, because I think it. We all have our individual backgrounds, and that's going to play a part in how you view, the lens through which you view what you're doing. But I have a real estate background. And I was on staff here for 2 years in the House and a year and a half in the Senate. I have an aviation management degree from Ohio State. But I say all that because each one of your individual backgrounds is going to shape a little bit about how you approach this and how you go into it. And what I will say is nobody comes here and leaves unchanged. You know, one of the great things about the institution is we all sort of bring whatever our perspectives were, and the interaction that you will have here in the legislature, because, and I know a number of you already have political backgrounds in local government and other things, but what's different about this is the exposure that you will have to people that are so different from you, in communities that are so different from the communities that you come from, that, you know, it's just an evolution, that you will learn things and be exposed to things and ways of thinking that you probably just had never thought about before. And we've been talking about this all week about whether you're Democrat or Republican, the vast majority of people, and I haven't met very many that do this job, are really terrific people no matter whether you're Republican or a Democrat. What you'll find is we agree on most things up here. Sometimes we differ on the path to get to it, to accomplish the goal. But typically, we're trying to get at the same thing. Everybody wants good schools. Everybody wants college to be affordable. Everyone wants safe communities and opportunity and business for people, and not to over. Despite what some of you Republicans have heard, Democrats don't want to overtax people either. And so we all agree on those things. And so we got to figure that stuff out together. And so there's all these things that we will do and interact and try to work that out. And so along those lines, I will also say that, and I think Senator Faber kind of touched upon it, the relationships that you build here are important, and there are a number of different kinds, but it's a very relationship-driven place, whether that's the relationship with each other, and I would suggest that as freshmen, you guys get to know each other as an opportunity to bond. Freshman classes kind of come in these days bigger than they used to. In the old days, a freshman class might have been four or five people. So how the members would have handled you would have been way different the way that we handle a freshman class. That's a third of our House or our Senate. You have a little more muscle in that regard, and people pay more attention to you. But get to know each other. Those relationships that you build right now can sustain you through when it gets a little weird around here. And trust me, it will get a little weird around here for you. But when you're dealing with a friend, or you're dealing with somebody who you know their family and you respect them, how you do deal with that completely changes. And so I recommend that. The relationships that you have with lobbyists, they are not just about financial support. Lobbyists are advocates for their clients. They help you understand issues. And as the senator talked about, a mile long and an inch deep, we're generalists. We're rushing through to try to learn information on the fly to make the best decision we can make, and then sweep that aside and do it again and again and again. There are a number of people around here that can help you, that can inform that decision, they can bring you information, they can help you understand the different viewpoints. A really good lobbyist will tell you, without you asking, but you should ask, they will tell you what the other side is gonna say is wrong with this, or what the other side thinks is good about what they want versus what you want. You should ask that, but really good ones will tell you that without you having to ask. And the stronger those relationships are, the more they will help you do that. And so don't be overly concerned about what you heard on TV about lobbyists being evil and having horns. I mean, the fact of the matter is they can be very, very helpful and constructive. You control the relationship as to what you will and will not do, so you don't ever have to sort of fear that contact. Relationships with staff. You know, staff can make you or break you. You're going to be running at a fever clip. You know, when you tell your staff to do something, you expect it to be done. And so that relationship is going to determine how people view your office. I mean, that's who's doing the constituent work for us. Relationships with LSC, relationships with all kinds of staff around here. When I was going through orientation, I think we came in together, and our class was 45 House members. That's almost half the House was brand new. And I think we had 11 appointees, so we probably were more than half of the House. And I remember a colleague of mine from the Dayton area leaned, now you gotta remember I was on staff, so I was cheating a little bit. I kind of knew what stuff was. But he leaned over to me halfway through the orientation. His eyes were as big as saucers. He's like, man, this is a lot of information. And I said, John, look, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at you. You know, you're not going to be able to understand all this stuff today. Just relax, absorb what you can absorb. What I knew that he didn't is you have a ton of help around here. And a lot of it's in this room. LSC staff. We have one of the best staffs of this kind for what they do in the country. And I'm not making that up. I mean, I've read that. I've read that from independent sources that say we have one of the best staffs of that kind. And so they will help you understand. If you have a question, if you have a legal question, if you're not a lawyer, they will help you figure all this out. They write the bills for you. You just got to check in and make sure it's accomplishing what it is that your intended purpose and all those things. But they are phenomenal staff, and so there's group after group. Your personal staff, your caucus staff, the lobbying community, advocates. There's a ton of help around here, and you grow into these positions. And so don't stress yourself out as you go through your orientation about all the stuff that's being dumped on you. Ton of help. And so focus on the relationships, focus on getting to know people. Again, sometimes we make assumptions about people's intentions because we don't know them and we don't know their heart. When you do that, it makes it a lot easier to sort of move forward. I would also say, Senator Faber really talked about a lot of really good stuff about, you know, becoming an expert in one or two things. Learning how to use the system to get up to speed on things really quickly. But knowing what you want to accomplish in the areas that you want to work in are very important. and will help drive whatever your success is. You're going to be tempted to, some of you will be tempted to want to do everything, and it will eat you alive. You will just be under, you will be overwhelmed. And so you really do have to pick and choose. Sometimes it can take 4, 6, 8 years to get that bill, that idea that you started out with, to get it done. And if you're not focused on it, you'll end up getting out of here and without having accomplished that. Nothing around here moves automatically. You have to push and push and be a good shepherd of whatever your idea is and keep checking in. You know, if you submitted something and then you looked away and you thought somebody was going to take it and keep doing it for you while you weren't, that's not going to happen. So you got to be a good shepherd. Keep checking in. I don't like the word nag, but basically that's what you're going to have to be. You're going to have to nag people about getting a hearing. Nag people about the votes. Are they with you? Nag people about getting your bill done in the other chamber, right? Where you don't have as much contact or deep relationships. You've got to be that driving force and keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. I would also say that, and I'm going to kind of stop here. It's more clear in the House because we are called representatives, but it's true of the Senate as well, is that, as my parents used to say, you're not just out there doing your thing, you're representing your reflection on me. And so as you guys do whatever it is you do, just remember you're a reflection on your district, you're a reflection on the people that you represent, and you should take that very seriously and act accordingly. In the integrity in which you act up here in every facet of it, because it really is a reflection on your district. You want them to be proud of the work that you're doing up here. Whatever your positions are, you want them to be proud of that work. And so I would always urge you to be conscious of that. Philosophically, I believe our jobs up here are really oriented around quality of life, trying to improve the quality of life for the as many people in this state as we can do. And that's about opportunity and broadening prosperity and making sure that the work we do in government actually works for people and not against people. And so that's a driving philosophy for me personally. And again, at the end of the day, we agree on most things. So there is a way to figure it out in good work. Most of the time, my years around here, I found that some of our absolute best work has been the work that we've done together as Democrats and Republicans. So look forward to working with all of you. And whatever help I can be, whichever party you're in, please reach out. So thank you, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. First off, don't nag me. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll do that.
First off, congratulations. Most sincerely, congratulations on several fronts. One, congratulations for stepping up and putting your name on the ballot and taking a chance to basically put your life out there and your family's a little bit out there as well to step up and serve your fellow citizens. Congratulations, because you are now one of 132 out of 11.5 million people in the seventh largest state in the nation. I mean, I don't know if you really sit back and really kind of think about the opportunity that you now have upon your shoulders to make decisions for that many people in one of the most still powerful states in the country. And that brings me to one of the most important things that you all have to understand coming into this. And look, for a couple things. You're going to be drinking from a fire hose. There's no doubt about it. This is probably the best analogy. There's going to be times as new members you're going to feel, you know what, how come nobody's telling me how to do this? Or how come I'm not fine? How come, where's this going to happen? Or how does this happen? Well, the first thing I can tell you is don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to look to other members and find folks and get to know each other as colleagues. Because everyone said it, it's the most important thing that you can do. Don't be afraid to pick up and call your respective leaders, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and pick up the telephone and ask a question. I find it very, and before we all go, I'll give you all my cell phone number to our House members to make sure you have it, but I am not Speaker, Fred's not leader, President Faber's not the President, Joe's not the leader in the Senate, just because. We become leaders because we're here to serve each of you. So our time, you taking the time to pick up the telephone or text us or ask us questions, that is our job. You are our first and number one priority. And I think you all need to understand that most importantly is that we're here to serve you and that no question is too dumb. You should feel free to ask. You're not bothering us, but you need to be able to pick up the telephone and call us and ask us how we can be helpful to you because that's important. You're going to be drinking from a fire hose. Take time to figure out where the bathroom is. And I say that just because it's true, though. Take time, meaning I know that we have term limits now, but it's not bad to take a few months to get settled and understand where things are, how things are going. You don't have to feel like you got to move at 110 miles per hour. Get an understanding for where you are because that settling and figuring out your office and figuring out how you're going to deal with things, building a schedule for yourselves. So how many of y'all have a second job or will have to be working two jobs? Well, it's going to be extremely important that you understand how to regulate and deal with your time and how that's going to work. What days are you going to spend in the district? The days that you got to be in Columbus. When are you going to travel through your district if you have larger districts? I have a very, I live on the far end of my district, so I have about a 2.5 hour commute to get to the farthest other end of my district. So some of you have big districts, some of you have smaller compact districts. How are you going to work that and make sure you have time with constituents? Those are important to try to figure out now, but most importantly, how are you going to make sure you also balance time with family? Now, I'm going to tell you, I think this is probably the best advice that I was given a long time ago. You are going to find that you have more friends than you ever knew you had, and it's going to happen, and some of you are already figuring that out now. And I'm not saying they're not. Some of these friends are going to stay with you for life. I know that I will take a lot of the members that I have served with in both House and Senate, Republican and Democrats, with me for a whole long time, and I hope you find that too. But the most important thing I think you need to realize is, just as I was telling you, don't worry about calling us, you have friends and families in your lives that are just going to feel like, I just better not text them. I better not bother them. Maybe they don't have time for that. You have to make time for them. And one of the most important things that you need to do is go home tonight, put out a list of 10 people that are friends before you even got elected. Write those 10 people down, put them in a drawer, and open that drawer every once in a while and look at those 10 friends and make sure you're connecting with them. Because the last thing you want to do is go 8 years and neglect those friendships and your family and find yourself either you're finished with your career in politics or you're moving on somewhere else and you have no one else to call on because you just dropped them for the last 8 years. Those people in your life are going to be extremely important, and this job can get very, very busy. And looking to find ways to spend time with friends are extremely important. For example, I do it myself. I take time once a month to meet with some of my friends just to make sure I'm still connecting with them. But they also ground you because they're not afraid to tell you what they're thinking. I can guarantee you that. The other thing I would tell you is that because you are one of 132 people out of 11.5 million people, the institutions that you represent are some of the most sacred and most humbling places to serve. And you need to understand those institutions and what it means to serve within them. What is the history of the Ohio House of Representatives or the Ohio Senate? Where does it derive its powers? How does it come to be? How is it that you should act accordingly on the floor of the House and present yourself in any case, remembering that you have to regulate how you act in public or what you do in public? Do you have, I'll give you a good example. I hardly ever drink in public because I don't think that, for me, I want to make sure that is something that people are looking at, that that's not an issue. Now, unfortunately, yesterday, because of a farewell, it got made public that I've tried to do a poorly done Irish car bomb. That hopefully never happens again. But you need to understand how you present. People are watching you everywhere. How you talk to a staffer when you maybe get upset because they didn't do something that you wanted to do and you do it in front of people and you think nobody's watching. somebody's watching, how you talk to others on the telephone when maybe you're having a bad day. And, you know, I think it was, I believe it was Representative Driehaus yesterday on the floor said something very impactful, and it may not have been. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was Representative Driehaus. Well, we had these really long speeches yesterday. But she said something really important, and that is, let me correct myself, it was Representative Coons that said, also understand that each of you have other burdens besides coming here to serve, and be respectful of what's happening in each other's lives and understand that. See, you're all really now part of a family, and this family is just like your real families. We don't get to pick our family members, but we all have to serve with each other. And we're going to get upset with each other. Leader Strayhorn and I have been at each other's throat, I can guarantee it, but one, it was behind closed doors. But I can tell you that never do we let that interfere with our friendship or our way of making sure we get business done. And I don't know how some of you act, but in this business, if you're out to hold grudges, you're probably in the wrong business. There should be no grudges here in politics. You should make sure, yeah, you're going to get your feelings hurt. It's going to happen. But you need to understand that everyone is here with the best of intentions, that everyone is trying to advance their constituents' needs or what they think is the best way to advance quality of life in the state of Ohio. And so what's so important of that is you're not here as Republicans or Democrats, and you certainly shouldn't view it that way. You're here to serve Ohioans. We are going to find areas to which we just do not get along and don't agree on anything. It's going to happen. But it's how you treat each other and that decorum in which you treat each other on the floor of the House that is important to the integrity of this institution. Because what you do not want and what we do not want is stories on the front of the paper or in the news talking about fist fights on the floor of the House or yelling matches between members. That's not respectful of the institution and the long storied history of either side. Of the Senate or the House, and you need to understand and be cognizant of that. You cannot be an expert in everything. You've heard that. Understand and look for areas that you feel was going to be your passion and wheelhouse that you really want to make happen. Now, that may not happen in the next 2 months, 3 months, or 4 months. And quite frankly, it might not happen until after the budget, but that's okay. Because you will be drinking from a fire hose as soon as we get in January as the state budget starts. And you're not going to find that you're going to have a lot of time to do maybe some of those areas that you wanted to focus on because you're going to be so immersed maybe in the budget area. I didn't find out my area of expertise for almost a year after I started serving because I was really focused on making impact in the district. And by the way, what Senator Faber said is so true. You have more ability to make impact here than anywhere else in any. My opinion, branch of government that exists in our system. Because it's here, you know, the federal government cannot come and help actually look inside the communities to actually create jobs. But you have a true impact in being able to make that happen in your communities and make things happen throughout the areas. Create an environment to create those jobs. Because that's so important. So. Take time to figure it out. Speaker Batchelder made me the subcommittee chair of higher education. I didn't know a thing about higher education or what, you know, as far as the details and everything from the state share of instruction to the Ohio College Opportunity Grant. But I took it and embraced it and dove in and learned. And now it's one of my wheelhouses to which I know a lot about. And to that point, this is one of those jobs, you get out of it what you put into it. You choose how much you want to actually be active in making sure you can make a difference. Because I can tell you, I think we could all tell you about members that they come into their office, they hardly pick up a phone or maybe write out a letter, their aides do the work, and they go home after they've done their official business. I would submit to you that's probably not the best way to be a legislator, but it happens. And it's not wrong. It's to what you want to put into it. It's what you're going to get out of it. You have to figure out what that level is and how you can do it, but it can happen. Get to know your colleagues. Don't just get to know your Republican colleagues. Don't just get to know your Democrat colleagues. I would probably submit to you that the best thing you can do is get to know each other and work together closely as friends and it's through those friendships you're going to find that you'll be able to get a heck of a lot more done. I have no qualms, and by the way, it doesn't need to be a dirty secret that you're friends with a Democrat or Republican. It's not a bad thing. I would submit to you that more folks need to understand and figure that out. I have no problem saying that Fred Strayhorn is a good man of high integrity and is a very good friend of mine, and forever will be, long before I leave here in the State House. And so, and I know Fred gets a lot of crap for that, actually, because I do. And I don't care, because at the end of the day, it's that ability to be able to communicate with each other that's extremely important, I think. Be patient. Don't think that you, again, have to hurry through things. Your staff and the folks that you interact with on a daily level, whether it's the LSC staff, which is going to become extremely crucial to you, to the janitorial staff that are cleaning out your offices or sweeping the carpets in the State House, to the sergeant at arms that make sure you're protected, and the state troopers. Everyone plays an integral and most important role in advancing the quality of life of Ohioans, no matter where they find themselves or what they're doing. Because without each one of them, you cannot do your job. And I hope you remember that and keep that most important. Because in most cases, they are working 10 times harder than we are. Because they're the ones sitting there answering the telephones. They're the ones sitting in or on the front line of looking at those emails. And then getting all those issues to you to figure out what's the ones that need to come before you. Because you, realize it or not, just do not have time to talk to all 120,000 people in your district. And, you know, your staff should be part of your family, because they are going to be extremely crucial to helping you make sure you do everything you can to advance the quality of life of your constituents. And I think Leader Strayhorn is right. I've always focused on the number one priority to me is that we are advancing and strengthening the quality of life of Ohioans. And that has to be what you look at as you continue. And just remember those staffers, you know, especially for you that are going to start out, they don't know you, and in most part, you don't know them very well. It takes time to get to know each other's habits, how things work, what's going to work and what's not going to work, and you're still going to, there's going to be some time for you to still figure out how's scheduling going to work for you all. How do you want things responded to your constituents? How do you want to handle constituent cases? The reason I say that is you have to be patient most with your staff. And you have to remember, they want to make you happy. They really do. I was a staffer. And try to be cognizant of that before you go maybe potentially snapping at them or you have a bad day. And look, it's happened. I don't think there's anybody that tells you it hasn't, probably lying to you. At some point it's going to happen, but it's how you handle it and pick yourself back up and make sure that they know that you care about them and that you appreciate their service is going to matter. It's how you help them. You know, I think there's a difference between being a good leader and being a good boss. And I would submit is when you go forward, make sure you're the leader and not the boss. Don't bark orders at them when they're doing something wrong. Take time to show them how to do something that you want to see them do. So remember, there's a big difference between being a good boss and a good leader. As President Faber said, I think a couple things. This is not a me event. This is a team of effort. Nothing can be advanced unless we have a team of folks going in the same direction. It just doesn't work. And I have seen it happen, and I know these guys have seen it happen. Folks come in, and they're going to do it their way. They want to make it happen. And what ends up happening is alienating that person from the caucus altogether. Because this is a team effort. You have to work within the team. And the final thing I tell you is the press is not my favorite, folks. But they are going to be in your face. They're going to ask you questions. They're going to want to know things from you. And I think the biggest advice I can give you is you do not have to answer their question. You do not have to feel compelled to answer a question that you're not, A, ready to answer, B, that you don't maybe have the complete facts or details to. There's nothing wrong with asking and saying that you would like to get back to them or that you'd follow up with them. So just understand, because I think a lot of people think that when they put the microphone in, you've got to come up with that answer, and you just got to do it on the spot. That's not the case, and for the most part, I will tell you, in my opinion, that the State House Press Corps is extremely professional, and they're great to work with, and they're not bad people if you tell them you want to follow up with them and get some time and understand that they are also doing a job. So we're here to help. I'm here to help you all. My phone is always open. My door is always open. Please use us as a resource, and look forward to serving with each one of you, and interested to take your questions. So thank you all very much.
Questions?
No questions.
We were that boring, they're all asleep.
What has changed, for those of you who are back for the second time, what's changed the most from when you came in before and how things are now?
I'm probably a good one to answer that question, being in a minority, because, look, as a minority leader, I want to work with him. I can't get anything done without him. He doesn't have to do that, right? I mean, he can run this show, CC fits. There's a lot, you know, of power vested in the speaker. I think from when I first came in, I've not participated in an environment that was this inclusive. And allowed the minority to be as relevant as this speaker has allowed last session and hopefully next session, for the minority to be to be this relevant. Our relationship is a little bit closer than what I'm familiar with a leader and a speaker's relationship being to focus on that. We say a lot of the same things, right? I encourage my members, if you have a bill that's not controversial, quite frankly, I wouldn't do it unless I went and got a Republican to do it with you. It takes the politics out of it. It allows you to focus on the policy. I think we really have elevated the work over who's a D and who's an R, right? We have those days where we're philosophically so far apart, it's just not gonna happen. But like I said, 90% of stuff we vote on, almost unanimous. I mean, there's so much of the work that we do is really about the work and about the public and not about even the philosophical differences. So we've tried to minimize the partisanship by doing things like that, and we work pretty well together. I that was not the case when I came in. I didn't feel that,
Yeah, I don't know, sitting here looking back at things that have changed and things that haven't changed. One of the things that I think term limits have done is it's really increased the institutional staff knowledge and frankly the relevance of the executive staff, and I think that that's a problem. When I first got here, we still had what I would call a lot of the gray hairs, and now as somebody who has gray hair, I didn't when I first came to this place. But I will tell you that the membership knowledge is on a sharper learning curve, but the staff, the institutional knowledge at LSC and your long-term caucus staffs. And to some extent, the people in the government affairs community is very, very strong. And so members have to, I believe this is a member-driven institution. It is the members that should be making public policy, not people on the outside. Whether it's governor staff, administrative staff, people who have been in an agency for 40 years, whatever it is, I think members have to be very wary of asserting their dominance, not other people's dominance in public policy. And I think that the term limit cycles, now that we've run through two or three, Fred and I came in with the first class of term limits. So we were the first group that came in after term limits that got rid of people who'd been here 30 and 40 years. And so we were empowered, frankly, very early to become subject matter experts or to do things because, frankly, we were half the people here. And the people ahead of us had been here maybe 2 years longer, maybe 4 years longer. And so that helped. But I will tell you that be wary of ceding legislative authority to the executive branch or to lobbyists or. And make sure you look, you're here to listen. They have good information. And don't be hypercritical, because 90% of the time they're going to try and give you good information to help you get where you need to be. But you need to know that difference of that 10%. And remember, some of those people who've been around for a long time, if a bill keeps coming back every session and never passes, there may be a reason. Okay? But I guarantee you there is going to be a lobbyist that comes in your office and gives you an idea and says, boy, this would be great for you to champion. And you look at it and say, yeah, LSC tells me this has been kind of around for a while. Why hasn't it passed? Well, we just didn't have the right perspective. Well, maybe there are hidden traps. And that's the stuff I would tell you that changes. That, but you used to be able to go find a member and say, okay, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And, you know, Ron Amstutz, to use an example, would say, yeah, let me tell you who that lobbyist is. And let me tell you the 15 things that have happened bad during the process for this. Reach out to those people. There are still some of them around. In the Senate, you've got Scott Olslager, you've got Randy Gardner, you've got Jay Hottinger. In the House, you've got a whole list of people Kirk that are Schering. Around, Kirk Schering. And candidly, look to people who have been there. You got Bill Seitz, you got Tom Patton. Ask them some of that history. Don't underestimate that. But the change that I think, if I were picking a change, I would say that institutional, internal member knowledge is being decreased. And certainly myself, the speaker, and the leaders are there as well. Look, I told the speaker this. I view part of my role when I go to the House next year is to work with you and to figure out how we can be successful. You know, I've had a chance to do what I wanted to do on specific public policy areas. There are a lot of you that have ideas that are fresh and new, and that's what I want to see succeed. So look out those people, and that's where I would go on some of the changes.
Let me real quick add to Senator Faber's comment, because I think this is important, because that drinking from the fire hose is going to happen, and you're going to have a cadre of people come to your offices in January wanting to meet with you, and some that's already started to meet with you. What you need, remember when I told you to be slower and take some time, don't be so quick when you sit with a lobbyist. They do a good job and sometimes proffing up, hey, here's a good bill that you should run with. And you may think it's a good idea, and it may be the best, but take some time to actually, and you'll be surprised sometimes that people don't do this. So when you agree to do the bill, maybe you want to read the bill and understand, because I know you're laughing, but I'm telling you, I think all have experience with this, in knowing that I know many stories where a member's taken a bill from a lobbyist, had it drawn up through LSC, never read the bill once, introduced it, and found themselves to be in a bit of hot water. Or they've dropped a bill not thinking maybe what the other side of the story could be. So what I'm telling you is, you know, be deliberative in what you choose to do and how you do it, and take and put some thought into it before just dropping it. So don't be in such a hurry to just say, yeah, I'll do that, and then drop it and not understand what you're doing. And take time to read a bill. Understand what's in your bill, because I hate to say it, Lynn Watchman said it's best, the only person he could trust was himself. And I was stretching it, he said, would say, a former representative. Because you have to understand, sometimes people love to put things in writing that they, you know, very easily say, well, this is what it does. And I know we've definitely, as leaders, have had this happen to us before. But it doesn't do anything like that. Or it's it's that mile, and they've actually taken, or it's that inch, and they've taken that mile. So make sure you take time to look through those things.
Can I add one thing to that? And I think Speaker put this so well, it tripped something else in my mind that was one of the best pieces of advice I got when I first came here. Be very, very cautious about co-sponsoring, member co-sponsor requests. Okay? A good rule is, don't co-sponsor anything your first 6 months until you figure out who's asking you to co-sponsor or get on a bill early, because you can always add your name at the end. Don't forget that. You can always add your name to co-sponsor. But more people get in trouble with a co-sponsor request of a bill that sounds really good until you get into the committee process and figure five things are going to be amended that are completely outside your scope of acceptance. And it's a lot easier just to say, I'll add later, particularly when I see how that goes.
Can you explain what co-sponsors?
Yeah, co-sponsor. I'm sorry. I figured you guys all knew what this was. When somebody has a bill idea, I'm going to drop a bill, and I'll tell you my very first bill I ever introduced was to put in a pharmacist conscience clause to say pharmacists don't have to distribute abortifacients if it's a morally objectionable thing, and there was another way for the person to get that drug. Okay, first bill I ever did. I said I was going to do that on the campaign trail. It was the first bill I did. I got beat up from that like you can't believe. But I sent out a request, and members who wanted to co-sponsor that bill could add their name after mine to the bill. And it, so it would be Faber and Strayhorn and Rosenberger.
It would not be that.
Okay. So anyhow, the co-sponsor request, before you drop a bill, before it actually gets filed at the clerk's office, is asking people to join you on the bill. Okay. Let me give you an example, and I'll use our good friend John Husted as an example. John's office was right next to mine. We were really fairly close in the house. We started together. And he had a bill that I thought was going to help regulate this charitable bingo, you know, this pool ship, okay? We've been unfixing that bill for 10 years now, by the way. But and the bill, it was illegal. They couldn't do it. The vets and fraternals couldn't do it. And so the bill had a component that would make them legal. And my vets and fraternals were vets and fraternals are a very, very big deal in my neighborhood. It's who pays for all your little league sports, and they do a lot of great things in your community. And so I wanted to help them be able to be legal so they didn't get raided by the liquor police and everybody else. And so the bill sounded like it did that. And initially that was the plan, okay, to make them legal, put some requirements on it so they weren't also putting cash in the freezer in the back of the office and the managers weren't stealing, lying, and cheating. Okay, so it did all of that. Fast forward, the bill gets done, it goes through the House, and it goes through the Senate. And as it went through the Senate, Jeff Jacobson, God bless him, added a provision that effectively made it illegal for these guys to do all of that. So the bill almost completely went from helping make them legal to making them illegal. The bill passes, gets signed by the governor, and now all the vets and fraternals hate me. Okay, my goal was to try and make them helpful. Okay, and now they all hate me because my name's the lead co-sponsor on a bill that puts them out of business. Now, we went around and tried to fix it, and the vets and fraternal people were very understanding when you explained what happened and they saw the process. But that is an inside the beltway explanation. Okay, had I never co-sponsored that bill, I would have never had to deal with that problem because my intent was to help them, not to hurt them, and in the end, we ended up helping them. Okay, now, there's a silver lining to every dark cloud. It gave me an opportunity to go meet all the vets and fraternal people all around the state and make them all friends because I was trying to undo what we had broken. Okay, and so ultimately they all became very good friends. But that's a lesson in the legislative process for you. Had I never co-sponsored that bill on something I didn't control the destiny of, okay, I would have been a much easier legislative process in my first 24 months. And so I just give you that as an example of why I'd be very cautious on that. And we were given that advice. I didn't listen well enough. Because it's real easy to say, hey, this is a good idea. You know, I like Strayhorn, okay? He's got some good ideas. I'm willing to help him.
We just can't pass them.
Yes.
No, I'm just yes. kidding.
Yes. Other questions?
Yeah, you can undo all the nice stuff I said.
Maybe the most common, the most frustrating, the most damaging freshman rookie mistake, something to avoid.
I mean, you just did yours.
Go ahead, AI.
I think I kind of talked about it. It is, or at least for me, it was, you're going to see all this stuff, and you're going to see a lot of stuff you're interested in. It's managing your time. I mean, it is, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I wanted to do that. And you get overwhelmed, and before you know it, you've said yes to a bunch of stuff. You're trying to manage all this stuff, and it's hard to shepherd a bill. So if you've overextended yourself and you haven't managed your time well, it can just be overwhelming. And so it's resisting the temptation to take on too many things, because then you end up not doing them well, right? So pick a few things, really hyper focus on them, and try to get them done, and resist the temptation to go after everything that interests you, because they might be good things. It's just it's really hard here to do all of those things.
I would say not focusing on now, meaning, look, There's going to be plenty of time for anybody and everybody to think about where you might want to be in leadership someday, be a chairman someday, but you got to put one foot in front of the next. And what that leads to, and I see it all the time, it's happened. I've seen freshmen come in and claim I'm going to be the speaker, and then the next thing, that's all they're trying to focus on, and it tears them down. And I'm not saying that about anybody in here. I'm just telling you, focus on one step in front of the next, or even a chairman or in leadership. And so that's the most important thing, because what ends up happening is if you're not focusing on now and putting one foot in front of the next, and by the way, I have always found that if you put your head down, do the work, things happen for you. People pay attention to that. And so it's when you don't and you're trying to make it obvious that people grasp onto it. So, you know, things like taking and having patience, working through bills, understanding what is going on, being, you know, deliberative in what you do and how you do it. Here's the other thing. This is not a race to find out at the end of the, because I can tell you right now, not a person cares how many bills you passed at the end of General Assembly. Not a person's going to remember that you passed 152 bills or two bills by the end of the General Assembly. And your constituents aren't going to, I had a great mentor, Dirk Kempthorne, U.S. Secretary of Interior, that told me, Cliff, they will never remember you. You could pass the best piece of legislation, and they're not going to remember you passing that piece of legislation. But what people do remember is the little things, the taking time to write a thank you note and putting it in the mail by your own hand, or, you know, sending someone when a constituent and showing up to a funeral of a person that you know in the district, or sending the accommodations that we do to highlight things that happen in people's lives. Those things matter more to folks in the end, that you're actually taking that opportunity to care about them and hear them. Because it's important to do good policy, but also remember that if you're not focusing on that too, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Your word matters. And the last piece of advice I would tell you is, in a day of iPhones and everything else, be very, very careful with what you're looking at and when you're looking at it and how you're looking at it, especially if you're on the floor of the House or a committee. And to remember, when you're sitting in committees, that you're there to do a job, not sit there and read the news or not pay attention or not be in your seat for committees, because people are showing up from out of state, from all over the state, to come talk to you to tell them what they passionately believe in. And I can tell you one of the last things, and this is the last thing I'll tell you. I think this is the worst thing in the world, when you're sitting there on your damn iPhone looking up Facebook or anything else, or posting from a post, when there is someone standing before you that's a single mother trying to tell you what you're about to do is going to affect her life, and you're posting on Facebook. So be very cognizant in that. So, again, I'm always here. Be free to reach out and connect, and always glad to be there and being here.
Yeah, I would say overcommitting. Don't commit to something until you're sure you can stick to that commitment. Whether it's you're going to show up to something in your district, or whether you're going to show up to something for your kid's Little League baseball team, or whether you're going to agree to vote for something or not vote for something. Everybody's going to come and you know, one of the best compliments I ever got was actually from a Democrat in my district. He said, Keith, you and I rarely agree, but I will tell you, you have been consistent. And I said, oh, a consistent disappointment. He said, no, you've been consistent in representing the district and doing what you said you were going to do. Don't commit to something until you're sure you're going to do it. And that way, your word is your bond. And a big freshman mistake, big freshman legislator mistake, is listening and then committing to this because it sounds good. The second one is getting lost, losing the forest for the trees. You're about to get in a world that most of you have never been in, to where every 15 minutes for your first 6 months, somebody's going to be meeting with you or wanting to see you. Okay, literally, your staff are going to be scheduling appointments 15 to 30 minutes, and you're still not going to get to see everybody who wants to meet, see, and talk to you. You're going to get invited to the nicest steakhouses in Columbus on somebody else's dime. You're going to be able to, I mean, we have members that literally haven't bought a meal in 15 years. Okay, and that's fine, but be careful. don't get caught up in that commitment and lose yourself and lose your focus. And remember that you can always say no to your staff. I need an hour for me to collect my thoughts each morning and for me to plan out what I'm going to accomplish today. And don't just let the flow take you down the river. I find that in my own life sometimes as president, and I know Speaker does too, that the river takes us, okay? Because we've got to go see this person, then we've got to meet this person, then we've got to do a fundraising event over here, and then we've got to go do this, and the next thing you know, you've got a member that you've got to take care of a problem with. The flow takes you. And at some point, if you're just going with the flow, you're going to miss your guidance. You're going to miss your direction. And so from that perspective, that's a big freshman mistake that you're going to get caught up in. And I guarantee you, the first week you get here that you're actively getting ready to start doing budget hearings, and you've got 30 people that got to meet with you today.
Follow you to the bathroom.
They'll follow you to I usually say, can we have a little distance here, okay? Yeah. I at least want to be in the stall by myself, okay?
That's true.
So at some point, you got to figure out where you're going to draw that line. And so one of the freshman mistakes I see is that people get caught up in that flow and get caught up in the aurora that is being a legislator. Speaker gave you great advice. Pull those list of 10 benchmark friends, the people who are going to beat the snot out of you because you're being stupid. Okay, and I go back to those people. Maybe it's your spouse. I mean, my wife always tells people, yeah, he might be the president, but she's the speaker of our house.
That's right.
Okay, when I come home, I don't care how late it is. Okay, I'm still taking the trash out. I'm still going to go over my kids' homework. And more often than not, I'm still cleaning up something the dog left out in the yard. Okay, that's what you got to be. You got to be grounded, and don't forget that. And the last part of that goes without saying. For those of you who have a significant other, okay, in this business, never forget that they are the most important person to you being successful in this job. Go home, give them a hug every single night, and thank them, because they're going to take all the crap. Whenever I see an elected official's spouse, I always ignore the elected official and go right to the spouse and tell them thank you, because they're going to be the ones who go to the grocery store and have Susie from down the street, who's a school board member, ripping them apart because of something you did that was probably wrong. Okay? Most people aren't going to have the courage to come up to you and say, Speaker, that was really stupid. Some will, don't get me wrong. But Susie down the street's going to go to your spouse or your kid, and they're going to thank them because they're putting up with all the crap and you get all the glory. Okay, you're the ones who get to go to Mitchell's for dinner. They don't. And so just remember to thank them for doing that. So that's the other freshman mistake, I would say, not appreciating the people in your lives who make it possible for you to come here.
Now, if you're single, we'll talk about that in another session, because dating's really hard.
I don't even want to go there. God bless you. But don't forget that, okay, the people in your life that are making this possible for you to do that. And it look, you're up here 2-3 days a week. You know, they're in my case, my wife's taking my kid to soccer last night, and she called this morning, gave me the full update on the soccer game. And you know, then she had to run home from work and make sure they had dinner and all the other things, because I'm not doing it. And so remember that as well. Thanks for having us.